السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's almost quarter to nine. Inshallah, till about 9:10, we'll have Muraqabah of Maut, which we have been reading since the beginning of Ramadan every night, and explaining to you the reality and the haqiqat of Maut, death. Thereafter, we'll break for about 20 minutes. And then there will be for about 45 minutes to an hour. Yasin Sharif, some zikrullah, some nasiyats, inshallah. The Mubarak night, 21st night of Ramadan. We have spent our life in so much of negligence. Let us try and search for Laylatul Qadr. He is the greatest of all after Allah Ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. If he could exert himself so much in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, last 10 days of Ramadan, in search of Laylatul Qadr, and not only in search of Laylatul Qadr, but in ibadah, in zikr, in tilawat, to make the best of the 10 days of Ramadan that remain. And from the ahadith we know that it Laylatul Qadr is one of the odd nights of the last 10 of Ramadan. So we will discuss something inshallah later on. For those who may not have been here, in this Muraqabah of Maut, we have discussed already so many things, so many different angles, but the gist and the bottom line in this whole Muraqabah of Maut is this, that whether a person attains the highest position in the land or in the country, he becomes a king or a ruler, tune man sabbi agar paya to kya, ganje simo zarbi hat aya to kya, qasre ali shan bhi banwaya to kya, dabdaba bhi apna dikhlaya to kya. That even if you get the highest position in some country or in the land, person becomes a king, becomes a president, becomes a prime minister, or in whichever profession he is, he reaches the highest stages. If the person is in some industry or is in farming, whatever he is, he goes to the topmost position. So what? After that what? At the end of it what? If the person gets all the gold and silver of the world, all the oil wells of the world, if he gets all the riches of the world, all the gems, all the uranium, all the platinum, all the diamonds of the world also, if a person has to acquire and achieve in his lifetime, then what? At the end of it what? And if the person has built huge palaces, every country has got his palace, every street has got his palace, every village, everywhere he builds a palace, then what? And if the person has got some kind of power and authority, and therefore he uses force, I'm just explaining, then he uses force, or he threatens everybody, I will flatten you, I will bombard you, I will destroy you, you don't know what kind of an army I have, you don't know much about my missiles and my bombs and my military might and power, all those things he does. Or if the person is in authority in any institution, or if the person is in authority in his business, is a director, is a manager, whatever he may be. Now because of that position, dabdaba bhi apna dikhlaya to kya? If he's going to threaten, if he's going to show his force and power and might, that I've got a position of authority, and listen to me, as if he has become the Razzaq or the Raziq. So the Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Dab dababi apna diklaya to kya? So what? Ek din marna hai akhir maut hai. Kar le jo karna hai akhir maut hai. Final destination is the graveyard. And I've explained that wherever the person dies, his barzakh starts. If the person is swallowed up by some fish in the ocean, then that's his barzakh, from the time of death until qiyamah. the soul lives on. If the person is burnt to ash, then his soul will still be questioned. The soul will get whatever punishment or reward. But generally, because we bury people in the graveyards of Qabristan, so therefore we talk about Qabristan. That so what? Finally the person has to go to the grave. Final destination is the grave. Therefore one person was being owed a lot of money by someone. Now he kept on asking him. This person didn't want to pay. So he went to one alim, one scholar of that time, and he explained to him his problem. He said, this person has got all the money, but he doesn't want to pay. He's always dilly-dallying and he's ducking and dodging, as we say. So what must I do now? Have you got any wazifa that I can get my money back and make this person pay? So he said, I don't have any kind of wazifa. If I had that kind of wazifa, I'll give to everybody one wazifa. Then you don't need debt collectors anymore. Just give them one wazifa and one taweez, finish. But what you do is, where does he live? He said, such a place. He said, you go and sit down by the Qabristan. Whenever there's somebody's mayat, and you know people will be coming to the Qabristan, then you go early and sit down outside the gate there. And everybody that passes there, they'll say, what are you sitting here from so early? So that person is owing me some money. So I'm waiting for him here because he has to come here. His final destination is here. So I'm waiting for him here. Now one person came, he said, what are you sitting here for? So that man is owing me money, therefore I'm sitting here and waiting for him. Every time I ask him, he doesn't pay. So I'm waiting for him here. As soon as he dies, he must come here. So that person got the message that that man is waiting there, the Qabristan, for you. So quickly he made arrangement to pay him his money. So final destination, Akhir Maut, whether we like it or not, all our cars, our homes, everything will remain here. But I've been repeatedly explaining that that does not mean that the person must close shop, must not make preparation for anything, he must not get married, he must not plan, nothing like that. You can run a big government, you can be a king of the time, you can be a ruler, you can be anything. That is not a problem. The person can reach the highest stages in the land. And the person can still be an Allah wala, he can be a waliullah. In the history of Islam, look at some of the kings and rulers, how pious and righteous they were, full of justice. They led a simple life and they led with justice. So now they were waliullahs in their high positions. So this remembrance of death, this muraqabah of maut, is really to keep before us that realization that whatever state we are in, we don't know when the angel of death will strike. All the crime of the world will disappear if only people believe in the all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing Allah. ND116786. Please remove your car. 116786. If the people believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and believe in the day of judgment, that there is a day of judgment, there is life after death, and we have to die and leave this world someday. So now that person who is wanting to commit adultery, if he knows that any time the angel of death can strike, finish, he's not going to commit adultery. He says, a Muslim is a believer. To him, he does not want to die in a state that he's committing adultery, because at that time his iman is also not there. If the person wants to steal, and he thinks just for a little while, what if the angel of death comes and my hands are still on that cash or on that jewelry or whatever I'm stealing, then what? The person, any crime, the moment he will think of his death, so it will be like a slamming of the brake that he puts on the brake. It won't allow him to commit that crime, that sin, because he knows that angel of death can strike suddenly And all over the world this is happening. Look at the thousands of people that are disappearing suddenly. Tsunamis, floodwaters, gale force winds, earthquakes, different kinds of disasters, sudden deaths in abundance. So this is what we have been discussing over the past number of nights. Then we discussed many other things, but let us make some progress. Also about ghaflat and negligence. That our major problem is negligence or indifference. We while away our time, we waste our time in futile activities, activities which are of no benefit at all in this world, in the akhirah. No benefit in this world or the hereafter. Hours and hours, days and days go in futile activities. Spend it in anything that's constructive. A person who is becoming an engineer, read more and more books on engineering, no problem. Person wants to become a doctor, study more and more books on medicine, whatever you can lay your hands on, study it, nothing wrong. In the same way, the person in any other field that he is interested, then do some reading, occupy yourself in something constructive, do some good physical exercise, running, jogging, skipping. Nothing wrong with that, with the right niyat. Talk cheerfully, happily, smilingly with the family, with the children. We talk about the early Muslims and how they were excellent in every field, they excelled in every field. They were inventors and they were this, they were that. So let us produce some like that in our communities now. Why all the time depend on whatever we get from other sources? So do anything that's constructive in which the person can keep himself occupied. We don't say the whole day you must be reading tasbih, whole day must be reading Quran Sharif, whole day must be making zikrullah. And also as Muslims it is our duty, we are duty bound by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are duty bound by the deen that we must make amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar, invite towards good. Prohibit and forbid from evil with hikmat, with diplomacy, with tact. That is our duty. So do something that's constructive. Don't waste our time in futile activities. Tujhko ghafil fikre uqba kuch nahi, khana dhoka aisha dunya kuch nahi. Tujhko ghafil fikre uqba kuch nahi, khana dhoka aisha dunya kuch nahi. Zindagi chand roza kuch nahi, kuch nahi uska bharosa kuch nahi. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. This life is of a few days. Make use of what Allah Ta'ala has created for us. The whole universe has been subjugated. Allah Ta'ala gave it to us. Make use of the heavens and the earth. Make use of the all the ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has placed at our disposal. Allah Ta'ala Himself has created. If we didn't have the modern day technology, would we have been able to move as fast as we move today? Look at the movement in those days, how slow it was. But everything is at a fast pace now, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it easy for us to travel at a fast pace too. Then look at the communication. It baffles our imagination. The communication baffles our imagination. Such speed. Look at the technology. So nothing wrong with good technology. Usage, nothing wrong with that. All we are told is don't use it for destruction or for causing harm or for causing losses to others or for haram pleasure. Don't use it for that. That's all. Person can have cell phone, he can have computer, he can have everything. Use it for the correct purpose. That's all it is. I mentioned after Asar today, that Allah Ta'ala did us a great favor. It is His ihsan upon us that He already declared so many things haram for us, because He knew, He is the creator of man, so He knew that these things are going to be harmful to man. So Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator, He Himself informed us that these things are haram for you, because they are harmful to you. They are not going to be of any use and benefit. They will be causing you some harm, or your family some harm, or the society some harm, or the nation, or the international community, it will cause them harm. So Allah Ta'ala forbid riba, interest taking, giving. Allah Ta'ala forbids adultery, fornication, gambling, drinking. Now in all these things, go deep into it and you see how much of harm. Look at the whole world today. There's just nothing but chaos. Look at what gambling does, and what drink does, and what adultery does. So what we are told is that we remember death so that it becomes a barrier between us and sins, that's all. It's not some kind of wazifa that we'll read all day. So we stopped here last night and we'll now proceed. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Chara gar go sakht jaan bhi keh gaya. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Chara gar go sakht jaan bhi keh gaya. Kya hua kuch din jo zinda reh gaya. Kya hua kuch din jo zinda reh gaya. Ek jahan saile fana mein beh gaya. Ek jahan saile fana mein beh gaya. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai. Kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. Sometimes a person goes into hospital and is out. He goes in operations upon operations and he still survives. The person is sometimes old, but still he is surviving. Everybody loses hope. Everyone starts reading the khatam poem, but he survives. His children, his grandchildren pass away before his eyes, but he is still surviving. And what kinds of sicknesses the person sometimes goes through. Cancer and everything else that you can think, but sometimes the person survives. So he says, sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya. That even if you have to survive, all the different kinds of sicknesses, diseases and problems that you faced, but you survive. And even if your doctor and your physician and your surgeon and everyone else, they say that this is a tough case. This person is really tough. Every time that we give up hope, but he recovers. So even if all the surgeons, the physicians and specialists also say that this patient, we've seen him so many times and every time he came, then we thought that this was the last. But he survived. So even if they say that, kya hua kuch din jo zinda reh gaya? What if you survive for another few days, few months, few years, then what? At the end of it, what? Ek jahan se le fana mein beh gaya. At present, we know in Pakistan, look at the flood waters, look at the destruction it has caused, how many villages have been submerged, how many people have been drowned, how many people's properties are gone. Se le fana, flood waters washes away everything, like that. Of course, there we must make a lot of dua, we must assist, we must help. Financially, materially, in whichever way we can, because it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's test upon them. We are so fortunate, we are so lucky, we're sitting in a masjid. We have our iftar, we have our sehri, we do everything. Same in many other countries. So he says, so many people, it is as if how the flood waters take away villages and homes and take away animals and wash away to the crops and everything else. Like that, if you have to look from the beginning of man coming on this earth, from then up till now, if you have to look at the number of people that left this world, it's as if huge floodwaters took away millions of people. How many can anybody count? How many million people went from this world? How many came and how many went? You can't keep count. So from ages, people are going, leaving this world. Others are taking their place, they are going. So it's as if floodwaters have taken away such a large number of people. Now after seeing all that, he says, still we are not opening our eyes. When we see our home, when we see our beautiful cars, we see our beautiful wives and children, we see our property, we look at all our investments, we look at our bank balances, then deep inside the heart we get a kind of satisfaction that I am solid, I am strong, I will never leave this world, I've got many, many years to live still. That is the danger. Otherwise, use everything. Make shukr and use, be grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in the midst of wealth also the person can be a waliullah. And sometimes in the midst of poverty the person can still be a friend of shaitan and the devil. And sometimes in the midst of poverty the person can be a great wali and friend of Allah Ta'ala. And in the midst of wealth also the person can be a devil. So he can be a devil or he can be a waliullah. It just depends on how he uses those ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, Hazrat Khaja Sahib says, Sakht sakht amraz go tu seh gaya, chara gar go sakht jaan bhi keh gaya, kya hua kuch din jo zinda reh gaya, ek jahan se ile fana mein beh gaya. Sarkashi zere falak zeba nahi, sarkashi zere falak zeba nahi, dekh jana hai tujhe zere zameen. سرکشی زیر فلک زیبا نہیں دیکھ جانا ہے تجھے زیر زمین جب تجھے مرنا ہے ایک دن بالیقین جب تجھے مرنا ہے ایک دن بالیقین چھوڑ فکر این و آ کر فکر دین ایک دن مرنا ہے آخر موت ہے کر لے جو کرنا ہے آخر موت ہے. One day you have to go zair zameen, underground. We have to go underground. For those who may not have heard that example, at the airport in Johannesburg those days, now there's a lot of changes there. But some friends said, some nasihat at the airport. Eons, months, it was that time. So I said, what nasihat can I give here? I said, if you look at the board there, on the board it says, arrivals. And it's showing a sign which side you must go for arrivals. So one sign is there of arrivals. So as far as arrivals are concerned, I said, does anybody have any doubt that he hasn't arrived in this world as yet? If any person has any doubt that he hasn't arrived as yet in this world, so then it needs a tightening of a few loose bolts in his head. So everybody agrees that he has arrived in this world. The second board shows their departures. As far as departures are concerned, they keep making announcement. Departure of flight number so and so at certain time. It's written on the board. And if there is some change, then they again announce that due to late arrival or due to technical problem, the flight will now leave at certain time. Whatever it is, but the arrival and other departures are announced. Now, with regards to our departure from this world, there is no announcement. Nobody knows when the departure will take place. Zindagi ka ajeeb visa kab bulale khuda nahi maloom. So we do not know when our departure will take place. There's going to be no announcements. And there's going to be no late arrival or there's going to be no extension or delay. As soon as the time comes, the angel of death has been informed that this person's soul must be taken out at this time. So exactly at that time, he will remove that soul. Last night I mentioned that sometimes we see a person is breathing very heavily at the time of his death. So there is actually that risk and sustenance that Allah Ta'ala gives. Just as we have our food, our drink and other things as sustenance, so those breaths of life are also sustenance. So if in that person's taqdeer was so much of breaths he will take before he leaves this world. So now if there's 2 minutes left and he still has to finish so many breaths, you will find he'll breathe heavily until he completes those breaths and he'll leave. So the departure is, our departure is fixed, and there I say, look at that board, it says departure times, but there's no, always changes there. And the person knows also what is the departure time. Then the third note is there showed that prayer room upstairs. It was showing prayer room upstairs those days. Prayer room upstairs. So I said upstairs, that means on the surface of the earth, that's upstairs. So upstairs is the prayer room, meaning that you must be obedient to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam whilst you're on the surface of the earth. Do your business, go into the highest levels of business, no problem. Become a king, become a ruler, become a great scientist, become a good doctor, become a physician, become anything. But be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because He is the one, Allah is the one who has blessed us with that intelligence and with the faculties and capabilities. So therefore prayer room is upstairs, that means on the surface of the earth. And then I said, look at the fourth notice there shows parking downstairs. Parking will be downstairs. So after we have completed our term of life on the earth, then we'll be parked downstairs. One day this masjid was over full. Some big night it was over full. That parking lot was full also. So I announced that now if a person doesn't get place upstairs, then go downstairs. And downstairs, inshallah, you will get place. Up till now, we haven't heard of anyone that went downstairs and he was told there's no place. Did we ever hear that somebody went downstairs and he was told there's no place for you? The ground takes everybody. Ground floor takes everybody. That means when we go beneath the surface of the earth. So we take lessons from all these things. Then I said, look at the lounges here. You have a first class lounge, you have a business class lounge, you have an economy class lounge. Now whether the person is enjoying the luxuries of the first class lounge, or whether he is sitting in the business class lounge and having his tea and snacks and busy with his computers and everything else, or he is in the economy class, or even if he hasn't got place to sit on a bench and the person is just on the floor when the too many flights are delayed, whatever it may be, but each and every person's gaze is on the departure board. The first class person is also has got his gaze on the departure board and the announcements with regards to departures. The person in the business class too, he is concerned about the departure time. And the person in the economy also has got a departure time. So in this world, somebody will have little more luxuries, little better home, little better clothes and a better car. He may be the first class lounge. Or the person may be in a little lesser than that. Or the person may be in a shack or a hut as the economy class lounge or on the floor. But every person must have his gaze on his departure. That means live in this world like the person who will leave any time. That's all. Do everything. Marry, upbring children, do business, do everything. But keep the gaze on the departure. And since we don't know when is going to be the departure, so we must be ever ready. I've mentioned many times that we got ever ready batteries in our country and many places. But when you need the battery in the darkness, the battery is not ever ready. That time is not ever ready. So we must not be like those dead batteries, but it states they're ever ready. We must be ever ready in the true sense of the word. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and ummat at large, the tawfiq of amal. It's the 21st night, and inshallah in another 15 minutes time at 9:30, then we will get back here, and we'll have about a 45 minute program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. I mentioned in one of my talks that unfortunately many of us believe that this kitab, Fazail-e-A'mal, has been written by that great Shaykh of the time, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, only for the people in the Jamaat. Whereas it is something that he has made available for every layman, layman like us, we too at least can get to know what the virtues are of performing our salat, what the warnings are of not performing salat, what the virtues are of fasting in Ramadan, or keeping fast on other days, what is the virtue of Laylatul Qadr, what are the virtues of the different azkar that the person reads, La ilaha illallah, or the other tasbihat, then what are the virtues, what has been promised, because it is human nature that we want something, we want some kind of a return. We say we must get some return on investment. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us the time, He gives us the tawfiq, and then we do one or two things of ibadat, but then still He gives us big returns. It is as if we have made some kind of investment. That is human nature, that we want to see some returns. So by knowing what is the virtue of an amal, then the person does it with more dedication. Quran Sharif. That is, so then he does it with more dedication. Even the fasting itself in Ramadan, what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? Man sama Ramadana imanam wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and with expectation of reward, expectation of sawab, it has been beautifully translated by an ashiq of Allah Ta'ala, ashiqana tarjuma, ke jo sawab ki lalach mein roza rakhta hai, Ramzan Sharif mein, sawab ki lalach mein. How a person has greed for other things, like that he has greed for this sawab also. He must have greed for sawab, because that's the currency of the akhirat. But we do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And He is the one who is giving the rewards. So then his past sins, talking about the minor sins, will be forgiven. The same with the person who stands up in the nights of Ramadan, engages himself in salat. So he's with two things again, with iman and ihtisaban. He got iman also and he's looking forward to the rewards only. And the person who stands up in the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, again with iman and ihtisaban, sawab ki lalach mein, in the greed for sawab. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive his past sins. So we are being encouraged in this manner, the same with hajj, the fazail of hajj. So if you, suppose to give you some encouragement, that you should read this kitab, Fazail Ramadan, before Ramadan. Now that these nights are coming, there is a whole section there on i'tikaf, a section on Laylatul Qadr. Now these things, if we know, then we look forward to the rewards. Not just for this one hadith sharif, because it is the 21st night. So let us take it from the source. And it is a hadith sharif which has been recorded in Mishkat Sharif. And it, An-Nabi Sayyidin al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اعتكف العشر الأول من رمضان. نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام made اعتكاف for the first 10 nights of Ramadan. First he made اعتكاف. ثم اعتكف العشر الأوسط في قبة تركية. Thereafter the middle 10 days, نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام made اعتكاف in a Turkish tent, inside the masjid, a Turkish tent that we made in Turkey. So from those days, The Turks seem to have been experts in making good tents. Or whatever the meaning of the thing is, it's mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, it is a Turkish tent. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a i'tikaf in that. Thereafter, ثم أطلع رأسه فقال إني أعتكف الأشهر الأول ألتمس هذه الليلة. Look at the words that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is using. He raised his head out of the tent after the 20 days and then he said, or 20 nights, and said, verily, in search of Laylatul Qadr did I perform the i'tikaf for the first 10, then for the middle 10. Then someone, that is an angel, came and told me that it is in the last 10 days. So whosoever has made i'tikaf with me should continue for the last 10 days. I had indeed been shown that night and then made to forget which one it shall be. And verily did I see myself prostrating to Allah Ta'ala with my forehead on mud on the morning after that night. So seek Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Seek it amongst the uneven ones. A Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that that same night it rained. The roof on the masjid leaked. I looked at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's two eyes and on his forehead were remains of water and mud. This was on the morning of the 21st. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed his sujood on clay. Now that was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's 21st night. It rained, the roof leaked. The great Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his masjid was that simple. These days our masjid, we want all the kinds of comforts, then we will make namaz. It is extremely difficult in a masjid to make everything comfortable for everyone. Now just look at the heat and cold. Now somebody has got high blood pressure, somebody has got low blood pressure, somebody feels very cold, somebody feels very hot. Now how are we going to adjust all the fans and aircon and everything for every person? So therefore when we go to the masjid, then whatever is possible, they will try and do, those who are in charge. But it's not going to be possible to make it comfortable for everyone. So we're supposed to be coming mujahids from the masjid. The masjid was a place to become a mujahid. And instead we want ease, comfort, luxuries. But because of our weakness, so therefore we are told that we don't have to have our masjids such that there is no roof there or it is made of just wood and iron. And thereafter if it rains then the ground gets wet and we must make sajda on the sand. It doesn't mean that we have to have that. There's nothing wrong. You have a nice masjid. You have carpet, whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides, there's nothing wrong. But Hazrat Ji Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam ke zamane mein masjid kachi thi, lekin namazi pakke thi. Aur hamare zamane mein masajid pakki ban gayi, lekin namazi kachche ban gaye. In his time, the masjids were not like our masjid. Simple, basic masjid. Masjid kachi. But the namazis were solid. Their iman was solid. Nothing would shake their iman. They conquered the world. Look at the battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq, Fatah Makkah. Thereafter, when they spread out, they went up Europe, Africa, different parts of the world, what kind of solid iman they had. So where did that preparation come from? That preparation came from the masjid. That is where their iman was made and developed. The masjid is not the place to run the vehicle. The garage, we take the vehicle for repairs. Or it is made, the parts are assembled in a building somewhere. But after that we run the car on the highway. Like that in the masjid, the iman is developed. And then we will run this vehicle of ours in our businesses, in our homes, in our walimas, in our marriages, in everywhere, all the departments. Now we will see how well it was developed and how well it was made in that masjid. So therefore this 21st night, it was on that occasion. Then we got ahadith of 23rd night, 25th night, 27th night. But that one word, Al-Tamisu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to search for the Laylatul Qadr, and he said, I was informed, and then I was made to forget. And there are different reasons given for that. But my purpose to bring it to you from the Kitab directly was to show you that this is a night that we have to search for. We must apply ourselves. Just as a person who is seeking something and is desperate, he's got a passion for something, then how he seeks it, like that we have to seek it. There will be concessions because of our weakness and because of the times in which we are living and the fitnas around us and the environment in which we live. So we don't say that in our time, now every night stay awake whole night and then next day you're going to work, you can't stand straight. We don't say that. Those people who can, who reduce their workloads, then they should do that and spend as much time as possible in ibadah, dhikr, tilawat, in the masjid, or sleep, but don't engage in any kind of haram or any kind of futile activity. If the person is sleepy, go and sleep. Just abstain from anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Go on a diet of sins and make it our passion that we just want to give up sins. If we haven't been able to do so in the past 20 days, then at least the last 10 now, a person says that I really, really want my Allah in my life. He is my creator. I don't want to leave this world in a state that He is displeased with me. And also my life is in His control. He can make it happy one and He can make it miserable. Allah Ta'ala can give and Allah Ta'ala can snatch away. So I want to please my Allah. So now these 10 days also, if the person really applies himself, he'll see the difference. He'll see the difference, how he'll find it easier after Ramadan to do those things which Allah Ta'ala has ordered and stay away from that which He has prohibited. So the 21st night, you diversify, do a little bit of namaz, a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat, and make a lot of dua. Make a lot of dua, because that is what these nights are for. And inshallah you'll find things changing.
Majal hai kuch bhi kar sakun main jo tu na tawfiq ai khuda de. Majal hai kuch bhi kar sakun main jo tu na tawfiq ai khuda de. تیری مشیت ہے سب پہ غالب یہ ہے کہ سب میرے ارادے بہت دنوں رہ چکا نکما بس اب مجھے کام کا بنا دے او اللہ far too long have I remained a useless person, useless.
We must consider ourselves as useless. We may be occupied in many, many activities, but in reality, or in comparison with that which we should be really doing, or how much we should be making an effort with regards to deen, with regards to our spirituality, with regards to our connection and bonding with Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we know how little it is. How little it is. Most of our time is in nothing but earning our livelihood, which is necessary, which is important, and it is a farz after the other farais. If a person earns his livelihood in a halal way, then there is also deen. But he is not here to just earn his halal livelihood. After that, what? We have to do something with that halal livelihood. Now with that halal livelihood, what are we going to do? We'll buy some clothes, we'll buy some food, we'll build a home, buy a car, the necessities of life, transport, accommodation, some clothes, some food. But now if the person day and night, 24 hours, all his life, his obsession is nothing but just earn. So then we'll say that he hasn't understood the purpose of his life. He is not here for that purpose. That is a need. So therefore he is allowed and it is rewarded if he does it in accordance with Quran and Sunnah. So what is referred here is the time that we have wasted. We have wasted so much of our life. If you really look at the life that we have wasted, then it's unreal. And we will regret it. The time of death, the person will regret. So therefore he says, "Bahut dino reh chuka nikamma, bas ab mujhe kaam ka bana de. Oh Allah, now make me a useful person. I must be beneficial for others. I must be useful. Help, assist, impart knowledge. Do anything that will benefit others. The poor, the needy, the destitute, family, friends. That is the life of a Muslim and Mu'min, not to harm anybody. And we must have a large heart, accommodating heart, forgiveness. If there is anything that has caused any injury and pain, then just think that we also want forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. So we must be also prepared to forgive. We must be prepared to forgive, otherwise how do we expect then forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala? So, bahut dino reh chuka nikamma, bas ab mujhe kaam ka bana de. Main kab se hoon mehve khab ghaflat, bas ab jaga de, bas ab jaga de. It is as if we are in a dream world. He says, as if I am in a dream world for a long, long time. So now get me up from this dream. A person is dreaming away, he's in prison, he's in chains and in everything, and he's dreaming of palace and there is a king, and he's got at his beck and call thousands of slaves and servants. So will the dream help him in any way? When his eyes open, will it help him? So like that, he says, we are in a dream world. It is as if we are enjoying those palaces and those homes and those cars and the oil wells and the gold and silver and the uranium, platinum and diamonds in our dream. Because when you ask a person after 80 years of his life or 100 years of his life, that how did your life pass by? They say like a dream. That's what everybody says. It was like a dream. How the child grows up in front of the parents' eyes, we say like a dream. The child was in the nappies, and after some time he says crawling, then he says walking, then he says running, and then he runs so far that he leaves the parents also and runs away. Finally he runs away. So the parents say that he was just now in his nappies, and look at it now, how the child was useless in the nappies, didn't even know how to handle his own hygiene, and now suddenly the person has gone and become a president, become a cabinet minister, he's become a tycoon. So we are saying to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that this dream world that we are in, get us up from that. If we use the things, use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, nothing wrong. We must not become like those who just condemn wealth, condemn wealth. How are we going to condemn wealth? How are we going to build masajid, madaris? How are we going to make umrah, hajj? How are we going to take care of poor, needy? How are we going to give zakat? So it's not the wealth, it is the usage. How the person earns it and how he uses it. Main kab se hoon mehve khab ghaflat, bas ab jaga de, bas ab jaga de. Har dam karun main ae mere bari, Allahu Allah, 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 Allahu Allah,
Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. Jab saans lo mein ho jaye jari, Allahu Allah, 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 Allahu Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rahe talab mein sawar sab hain, payada misle ghubar mein hoon. Rahe talab mein sawar sab hain, payada misle ghubar mein hoon. Tere gulistan mein sab gul hain, bas ek agar hoon to khar mein hoon. مجھے بھی کچھ فکر آخرت ہو, بہت ہی غفلت شعار میں ہوں. رہا میں بیکار زندگی بھر, بس اب تو مشغول کار میں ہوں.
Oh Allah, everyone has taken off in your path. We don't know where they are soaring, how high they are in their spirituality. How many of them with their tawbah, with their istighfar, with their shame and nadamat over their sins, with their ibadat, with their zikr, with their tilawat, with your muhabbat, with the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, with hope and fear of azab of akhirat and jahannam, we don't know where they are gone. We are still like a speck of dust on the ground, my Allah. We are like the dry leaf that when the wind blows, we pick up a little bit. And then when the wind stops, the leaf drops. Again, after a little while, the wind blows, the leaf picks up. Then the tree stops, the leaf drops. So the leaf remains on the ground all the time, rolling from here to there, there to there, there to there, goes round and round, or moves a little distance, but it remains on the ground. It doesn't take off. So we are like that. So, oh Allah, we are still like that. And others have taken off. We must always think of ourselves as the weakest link of the ummah. And think of others, no matter what they may have done, whatever sins they may have committed. We must dislike the sins. And if we are in authority, like parents, or teachers, or some sheikh, or whoever is in authority, then it is his duty that he must make islah. Sometimes he has to reprimand. Sometimes he has to shake up the person from his sleep and indifference and negligence. So that is a different thing. But even in that there must be compassion, there must be love, there must be kindness. How we would like our own child to grow up and to come out of the vice dens. So sometimes we will even reprimand the child, and parents sometimes slap the child. But the child knows that it is out of love. So like that, we must have love for others. But as far as ourselves we are concerned, we must think that we are the weakest link. We don't know when that person will make some tawbah istighfar and become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. And if we get pride over our deeds and actions, then we don't know where we will go. So
سو مجھے بھی کچھ فکر آخرت ہو, بہت ہی غفلت شعار ہوں میں. آسکنگ اللہ تعالیٰ دیتا ہے گیو اس سم آلسو فکر آخرت. تجھ کو غافل فکر عقبہ کچھ نہیں. او یو غافل نیگلیجنٹ ون, یو گاٹ نو فکر آف دا آخرت. اجاز صاحب ایڈریسز اس اینڈ ہی سیز, او یو نیگلیجنٹ ون, یو گاٹ نو فکر اینڈ کنسرن دیٹ یو ہیو ٹو ڈیپارٹ فرام دس ورلڈ سم ڈے. کھانا دو کا عیش ہے دنیا کچھ نہیں. ڈونٹ لیٹ دس ورلڈ ڈیسیو یو, اٹس اے ورلڈ آف ڈیسیپشن. دیر از جسٹ گلٹر اینڈ گلیمر ایوری وے. Don't let it deceive you. Khana dhoka aisha dunya kuch nahi. For a little while. You eat the best food. How long is that taste in the mouth? The best, most delicious food if a person eats. For how long is that taste in the mouth? In fact, because it's very delicious, so the person eats and eats and eats. Because it's delicious. Then he doesn't see whether he's suffering from diabetes or he's suffering from any other kind of sickness, because it's delicious. And then he realizes that all the food went into the stomach, but that much was not needed for the stomach. The stomach didn't need that much. But just because it was tasty, so he was just devouring. But now he realizes that the stomach is feeling very heavy. But he can't do anything about it. So the taste is just in the mouth. And that too because of the teeth. After a little while nothing. Then we know what is the end result of all the food that we have eaten. The same with clothes. After some time it's tattered and torn, it loses its color and fades away, or it is losing its shape. And then how many people have really got the clothes that they purchased a couple years ago? And nowadays we don't even keep it for a few months. So the clothes also, that is the end result. Anything you will take, finally there will be complete disintegration or loss. So we make use of these things to make our akhirat. The person will make use of his sight, of his speech, of his wealth, of his hands, of his feet, of his home, of his car, everything. Use it correctly and make the akhirat. دیکھو اسے مجھے بھی کچھ فکر آخرت ہو, بہت ہی غفلت شعار میں ہوں, رہا میں بیکار زندگی بھر. انشاءاللہ ول ڈو دیٹ ٹمارو. ہر دم کروں میں اے میرے باری اللہ 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 لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ. یا رب کرم سے اپنے تو دونوں جہان دے, مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان دے. اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ جل جلالہ اللہ 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 Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahu Allah, 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 Allahu Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya arhamar rahimin, ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyasal mustaghifin, ya zal jalali wal ikram, ya zal jalali wal ikram, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my beloved Allah, my most beloved Allah,
Allah, Allah, Allah, Allah. My Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. Oh, my most tolerant, most beneficent, most merciful Allah. My beloved Allah, we have raised our begging bowls before you. It is the 21st night of Ramadan. We haven't been able to do justice to our fasting in the days that have gone by. Beloved Allah, we haven't shown appreciation of this Mubarak month as it should be shown. Our negligence and our indifference did not change. Ay Rabbi Kareem, we remain drowning in the ocean of sins even in the month of Ramadan. My beloved Allah, we did not control our hearts and our gazes and our actions. Rabbi Kareem, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. But you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. My beloved Allah, others are soaring high in the sky. We are like speck of dust on the ground. But your doors of forgiveness are wide open, my Allah. The ocean of forgiveness is so vast, that just one drop from that ocean is sufficient to wash away the sins of mankind around the globe. Ay Rabbi Kareem, Ay Rahim Kareem, Allah, in this Mubarak night, after the Taraweeh prayers, after Zikrullah, we have raised our begging bowls before you. You are watching us this very moment. We are before your gaze and sight, my Allah. We haven't raised our hand before some idol that cannot see us, cannot listen to us, cannot help us in any way. We have raised our hands before an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, omnipotent creator. Rabbi Kareem, our life in your control. Our sight, hearing, speech, heart, liver and lungs, everything in your control. The ground on which we walk is in your control. The heavens and the earth in your control. Rabbi Kareem, we are therefore seeking forgiveness of all sins that we have committed in our lives. Our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night. My beloved Allah, you could have seized us there and then. You could have brought embarrassment, shame, disgrace and humiliation if we were popping drugs in our mouth or committing adultery or dancing away in some nightclub or with a bottle of wine in our hands or watching some filth on the internet or on the television screen. You could have destroyed us, my Allah, in a gambling den. But my beloved Allah, how Rahim you are, how Kareem you are. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us another opportunity of making tawbah. You are giving us another opportunity of turning towards you and seeking forgiveness of all those sins. Ay Rabbi Kareem, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of people. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, wives, brothers, sisters, family members, ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Muslim or non-Muslim, Ay Rabbi Kareem, give us the tawfiq to fulfill everybody's rights. Give us the tawfiq to pray 5 times a day, to fast in Ramadan, to give zakat if due, to go for hajj if farz. Ay Rabbi Kareem, we are extremely weak servants of yours. But we are seeking from your unlimited treasures of forgiveness and mercy. Ay Rabbi Kareem, change the direction of our lives. Take us on the road that leads to you, on the road that leads to Jannat, on the road that leads to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Ey mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. My beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, whatever we may be, Even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, more than the raindrops that fall from the skies, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Rabbi Kareem, bless us with rizq that is halal. Bless us with barakat in our rizq, barakat in our homes, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our time, barakat in our life. Hey Rabbi Kareem, unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabiyya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. At present in so many parts of the world, there are millions of people, Pakistan, Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Kashmir, Sudan, Somalia. Ay Rabbi Kareem, how many millions of people are homeless, displaced because of earthquakes, floodwaters, gale force winds, tsunamis. Ay Rabbi Kareem, unki mushkilat ko dur farma. Remove the pain, the suffering, the difficulty. Don't test my beloved Allah. We know it is because of our sins that mankind is suffering around the globe. Forgive us and remove the suffering of mankind around the globe. Ey Rabbe Kareem, hamare hal par raham farma. Hamare hal par raham farma. My beloved Allah, those are sick and ailing, give them shifa. There are so many people in hospitals and clinics, in homes. So many have met up with accidents. So many have been shot. So many have been suffering from different kinds of sicknesses and diseases and ailments. Oh Allah, we know that sometimes these sicknesses, diseases, pain and suffering can be a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But that is for the very pious and the righteous one. Ya Allah, we are not in that caliber and category. For us, forgive our sins and remove our pain and suffering. Even if it is in the form of a mercy, change it to the mercy of good health. Poverty, if it is, my Allah, then change the poverty of the person to the mercy of good wealth. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their pain. And bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their suffering. Ya Allah, those who are in search of employment, give them halal employment. Those who are in search of marriage partners, bless them with partners that are compatible, pious and righteous. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make those children pious and righteous. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to upbring our children in a manner that is most befitting a Muslim. Ey Rabbi Kareem, give us the himmat and courage to throw out of our homes and lives all that is causing such corruption in the life of our children. In our country also, my Allah, change the conditions of insecurity to security. Change the conditions of restlessness, my beloved Allah, to that of peace and harmony and tranquility. Fill our hearts with peace and tranquility and sukoon. Ek din marna hai akhir maut. My beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den. Any kind of haram action, we don't know when the angel of death will strike. Ey Rabbi Kareem, my beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Medina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Medina Tayyiba, with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, that it be in a state that you are pleased with us. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed e karam aaya garche pur khata hai par kahan jaye tera banda tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed e karam aaya. We have come to your door, my Allah, with great hope, great ummeed. Ya Allah, accept this entire wajiba that has raised the hand for you. Ya Allah, this part of the night, such a large crowd of young people who have everything going for them.
But here Allah, they have come to draw and raised up their begging bowls in this Mubarak night of the 21st. Ya Allah, don't deprive anyone. Whosoever by Allah has raised his or her hand this part of the night before you, don't deprive. Open the floodgates of your mercy for them. Ya Allah. Aaj raat hamari maghfirat kar de. Ab to raham kar le. Ab to maaf farma. Ab to maaf farma. Ab to maaf farma. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kaha. There is no other door for us that we can tap by Allah. Where else can we go? If a dog is kicked from one butcher, he can go to another. If a beggar is chased from one home, he can go to another home. But my Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of mercy, where do we go? Ya Allah. Hey Rabbe Kareem, we cannot know the needs of everyone. We cannot know, my Allah, the desires and wishes of everyone. But you are well aware of the good wishes, the desires, the aspirations that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, fulfill their good wishes, good tamanna, good desires. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who have sat in ehtikaf, accept their ehtikaf, make it maqbool. Ya Allah, protect and safeguard their family members whom they have left behind and come into the masjid, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, bless them with barakat in their sitting. Accept their ibadat, their zikr, their tilawat, their ehtikaf. And ya Allah, give us a share in their duas. Ey Rabbi Kareem, those who have gone to the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Tayyibah to make ehtikaf, and those who are there for Umrahs, Ey Rabbi Kareem, make it maqbool, mabroor. Those who are planning to go for Hajj, make it easy for them. Remove any kind of obstacles that may be in their path. Ey Rabbi Kareem, make their Hajj easy and maqbool. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us in his entire life. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, especially that of Dajjal, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke sadqe mein hamari duao ko qabool. Make the remaining days and nights easy for us, my Allah. Ab to razi ho ja, ab to razi ho ja, ab to razi ho ja. Become pleased with us, my Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Anyway, before we should have another late night program, and all our health doesn't warrant it, so engage yourself in individual ibadat. Those who want to rest, have a rest and get up early again, or engage yourself now to join at the conference. Some tilawat is very bad after your lessons and to eat. No talking, that's all. Eat, drink, sleep, make tilawat, ibadat, just control gossip and idle talk. Takes away the nur of all the ibadat, especially in Africa. Because we are in the house of Allah Ta'ala. So the house of Allah Ta'ala is not made for eating, drinking and sleeping.
It is not made for that. It is made for Salat, made for Allah. But we are given that concession. And we are treated as guests in Allah Ta'ala's house when we are in Ittikaf. Whether it's for a little while that we are in the masjid or whether we are for a longer time or in Ramadan sitting for Ittikaf. So the person then, if he enters the masjid with niyat of Ittikaf, the different Ittikafs of course, sunnat, wajib, nafil. So the person becomes like a guest in Allah Ta'ala's house. So then he must observe the etiquette. If we go to somebody's house as guests, so then we are going to treat that person's house as his house, and we will observe the etiquette. We are not going to behave in a manner that is displeasing to the guest. We are not going to cause damage to the property. We are not going to shout and scream and act as if we have got no concern for the rights of the host. So in the house of Allah Ta'ala, there are laws, there are regulations. We can't go into a courthouse and start shouting, screaming. You know, when the court is in session, at that time they allow anybody to talk loudly and make a noise. So like that, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, it's either ibadat, zikr, tilawat, necessary talk. How are you? You need anything or some other message that came or you have to give, those things are permissible. But to talk worldly affairs and indeed in unnecessary gossip, then that is not right, especially at Ittikaf. Then you lose the whole noor of the Ittikaf, the whole purpose is lost. So those that went now to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif for Ittikaf, especially Madinah Sharif, so when they asked for nasihat, I said, the nasihat of mine is this, that I know because I've been and made some kind of Ittikaf there some years back. So most of the South Africans will gather in one corner. I said, there's one corner there. It's called South African Corner. Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So try and avoid that corner. There are over 1 million people there. Take your Quran Sharif and go and get lost somewhere in the crowd. Or take your Tasbih and go and find some Japanese on your right, some Chinese in front of you, Australian behind you, and Nigerian on the right hand side. Finish. You don't know anybody. Make salam to all those brothers, because whatever color they may be, but they all Allah Ta'ala's guests there. That's all. After that he doesn't know you, you don't know him. So you occupy yourself with Tilawat, Zikr, Ibadat. And thereafter, when you're tired, then go to the back there or wherever your place is and go and sleep away. Meet everybody nicely, be cheerful, because it is sawab also to put happiness into the heart of a Muslim, so you talk nicely. And thereafter, take your pillow and sleep. Somebody say that, we are there, then people talk. As they talk, then you just close your eyes. Finish. Put your pillow and close your eyes. Then make your zikr silently in your mind. So I haven't heard of anybody talking to a sleeping person. If a person is fast asleep, will get somebody now talking to you. Unless that chap replies also in his sleep, I don't know. Because we get people that reply in the sleep also. But generally, nobody talks to a sleeping person. So that's all. Sleep away, finish. Or engage yourself in dua. Now that person is not going to say, put your hand down and reply to me first. Otherwise in the Haram Sharif also, little while, call from South Africa, call from here, call from there. And the person is reading Quran Sharif, unnecessary calls, when there were no cell phones. Unless it's an urgent call, something is different. But this is sitting in the Haram Sharif, little while, call from here, call from there, or going through all the SMSs and messages and everything. Do all that outside the Haram Sharif. So then you go there too, but you lose out everything. So in the masajid, which are houses of Allah Ta'ala also, etiquette is important. Somebody was thinking to know that, why do we have nikah outside there? Why don't we have it in the masjid? Isn't it sunnat in the masjid? So indeed it is sunnat in the masjid. But who does not know how we behave after the nikah? after the nikah, what is our behavior in the masjid? So we have to forego the sunnah, because we will enter into haram. Loud noise, gossip, all kinds of talk. So that's why we have it there in the second section. After the nikah, make the noise outside. Sometimes it becomes like a real fish market. That is why we don't have it in the masjid. Who doesn't like to make nikah in the masjid? So those who have come from far and wide for i'tikaf, you know that we limited the numbers also. We had so many people wanting to come. Wallah, without exaggeration, there are so many people from different places. They wanted to come. Now we have to tell them, no, we can only take 70, 80 here because we are limited with space. So it is Allah Ta'ala's ihsan and fazlah. We have got the opportunity to be here. So make the best of it. This thing that Allah Ta'ala is watching, He has become pleased. It's not a party. Many places the i'tikaf has now become one big party. Eat, drink, sleep, talk, and finish. I'tikaf is over. And all kinds of different delicacies and announcements are made. Everything provided, boarding, lodging, ironing, washing, and everything. So people feel very nice. Whereas in i'tikaf, the person must humble himself. He must make fana of his nafs. He must leave all our pride outside. We must not expect to be given some kind of high position or special attention just because the person is in some high position outside. Now he wants the same kind of attention inside the house of Allah Ta'ala. And how will he learn? Inside the house of Allah Ta'ala, we must leave all your positions outside. You must come inside here as bandas and slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Then you see how you enjoy. Then you make fana of our nafs and annihilate our nafs. Then we'll get baqa. First we must take fana, then we'll get baqa. First the seed has to be planted in the ground and we throw sand and dust over it. Then it germinates. Our aqal tells us that whatever you put underground finished, that's the death of that. That seed, small little seed, now we're putting underground. And then we put in rock over it and sand over it and all kinds of dust over it. But then after that, it grows, germinates, comes out. Because the seed first made fana of itself. So this nafs of ours must make fana. Submit it to Allah Ta'ala. Then see how Allah Ta'ala will give elevation. And Allah Ta'ala will then give respect. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala be pleased with you. So get down to something constructive or go home and sleep and get up early.